Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yes, everybody's happy in Nashville. Everybody loves Nashville. Okay, there's no problems in Nashville.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Traffic.
Like our guest, Tim Hasselbeck. Once he moved to Nashville, he was happy.
Became very happy.
He was sad living up in the Northeast, but now he's a happy guy. Tim, what's up?
So, a couple of things. One, that is true. Okay, much happier living in Nashville. There's no question about it. People are generally, I think, happier here than elsewhere, especially if you're elsewhere was Jacksonville. but I would just say that, like, I'm with Willie on this one. Last week felt like all of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, how come you don't want him here? How come you don't want him here? I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. So some guys, those problems aren't going away. And, oh, by the way, you want to give him a new deal. And I don't know if there's many things that are worse than, you know, let's be honest, I don't think any of us think he's really sick.
It was raining last Thursday. It rained.
Yeah. I think it's got to be a level of trust. I just know that there were some rumors going around last week. So this past weekend, that he was going to call in with, you know, tight hamstrings and tight back. That was prior to him saying, "Oh yeah, I'm sick." And now, in addition, that's what you get. And I guess one of the worst things you can do is fake an injury, man, or fake being out and not be there for your team. Because, oh, by the way, Jacksonville's still paying him for this week. So, yep. You know, 1025 the game, you know, if Chase calls in sick, they're not going to still pay him, you know. And I just think that there does need a little bit of accountability for that. And I would not feel great about giving up a first rounder, paying a guy, and then, you know, kind of like I said last week, you've already invested a bunch at the position.
What's his level of headache, in your opinion? I mean, where is he? Antonio Brown? Is he T.O.? Is he Chad Ochocinco? It's an unfair question. I get it, but just throw a dart and tell us, like, where is he in the landscape of headaches?
Yeah. Well, I would say this. I think that we generally, and I guess by we, saying, like, you know, people in the media, I think we generally do a bad job of kind of addressing, you know, when somebody has quote-unquote off-the-field issues, right? So, like, because that can run the gamut. Like, it could be, you know, a guy got into a fight in the locker room, or the guy had, you know, a DUI, or the guy had a domestic issue, or the guy, you know, had an addiction problem, or, you know what I mean? Like, it just, there's so many different things. So I think, in fairness to Jalen, like, I don't think it's fair to say, hey, you know, he's like in the Antonio Brown world.
Okay, I shouldn't, because you're right. I guess I was thinking more at the time. You're right. That's not Facebook Live and, you know, sitting out the final game of the year. He just quit on Pittsburgh. So you're right. I shouldn't throw him in. I guess T.O. was a headache, but it wasn't like he was in trouble. He was just a headache. And Chad Ochocinco wasn't in trouble. He was just a headache. So I guess I'm comparing him to those guys.
Yeah, and so what I would say is, well, let me just first say, you're not wrong, because, like, you know, Antonio Brown had both of those things, you know what I mean, like, in terms of off-the-field stuff. So, I understand why you're saying it. And I, like everyone else, has kind of, you know, done a similar thing. What level of headache? I think there's probably, like, a T.O. aspect to it. I mean, if you think about, you know, I mean, T.O. and the infamous, you know, kind of sit-ups in the driveway situation, or, you know, like...
Well, there's, Tim, there was the Bears player that forgot to check when he Instagrammed in the locker room when they won the game. There was a teammate changing clothes behind him. That's a little bit of a headache, but it's on a scale.
I think that's a headache, but I also think that, and I don't know Tariq Cohen, but I'm thinking it wasn't totally intentional. You know, Chris Cooley had done something like that before, you know, with the Redskins. So I think it's, guys that are good players, you know, are allowed to be more of a headache than guys that aren't. And he's definitely a really good player. So somebody's going to think he's worth the headache, but he's a big headache. And I just know that, like, if it were me, I would not if it were me and I were Mike Vrabel, I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want the headache.
Okay. So you don't think he's worth it. But you're right. Somebody will. So how's this going to play out? I mean, they're going to be forced here very soon to trade him, right? I mean, he is forcing the issue.
So I had this conversation on NFL Live yesterday, and part of what you have to you think about is, like, you got to figure out, like, what the right thing to. Like, you know, Jalen's basically, you know, kind of decided what he thinks is right for him. But it's got to be right for the team as well. And the team is going to need the proper compensation. Plus, like, they're angry about it now. So, you know, they're going to want, you know, first rounder plus, which means you're going to have to. So I can't imagine that Jalen's going to take a deal that doesn't make him the highest paid corner in the NFL. Would we agree on that?
Yeah. Yep, we can agree on that.
So not only do you have to find a trade partner that will make him the highest paid corner, you have to find a trade partner that has the capital and the picks to give up what, you know, the Jags are going to think, you know, they should get in return. So I was asked, like, do I think it happens? And I don't think it does. And I think because he's gone about this the wrong way, I believe that it's hurt his value. Now, I could be wrong, but, like, if I were to, I will guarantee you that there are some general managers that have been turned off by this whole "I'm sick" situation. That's kind of a big no-no. Like, if it were me, I probably would have been like, all right, if he's going to continue to play really hard while this is going on, I would have been, I'd maybe be more apt to trust him. But now that he's, that I think he's lying, now I don't trust him, and now I don't want him.
You usually do these call-ins from the country club at either the tennis courts or the pool or something. So you're used to hobnobbing around filthy, filthy rich people. So you understand that world. Isn't it amazing, Tim, how you can be successful and rich in business, but it seems like whenever you own a sports franchise, you become not smart? I mean, I look at the Redskins organization and Daniel Snyder. It's just been nothing but just a big heap of trash since he's been the owner. And I look at the Jags. That dude's got billions upon billions, and obviously he's been successful a lot of things, but the Jags don't look like a well-oiled machine. I mean, for goodness sake, the Redskins put up London Fletcher, and they honored him Monday night, and they didn't even spell his name right on the Jumbotron. I mean, how do you miss? It's just one thing after another. How does that happen? How is it that people get all this money because they've made good decisions, and then they own a sports team, and they just become dumb?
Yeah, I would just say I think part of it is that, you know, owning a sports team like this is obviously a really big undertaking. There's a lot of parts you can't, you know, you can't oversee it all yourself. And so you need to be able to hire good people, qualified people to, you know, to do certain things. Like, I just, you know, spell one Fletcher's name right. But also, you know, you got to hire a general manager that picks the right players, and you've got to hire a marketing department that, you know, that do the right thing. I think there's a lot that goes into that. And I think if you get some of those decisions wrong, then it can make you look really bad. And, you know, it's interesting. I was out at the Kansas City Chiefs training camp this past year. And, I think that's an organization that, like, they've got it together. You know, they do a pretty good job. And what I realized there is that there basically is, like, no stone unturned. You know, like, it just, I mean, everything. Like, you know, I get out to practice, and, you know, I immediately have somebody come up to me and said, hey, you know, Andy knows that you're at practice today. He wants to say hi to you. I'm like, what? How does Andy Reid know that I'm at practice today? You know, like,
Because you were wearing your jersey, maybe?
What? No, I'm just saying, like...
You weren't wearing your jersey?
I was not, but I literally was in training camp with him twice, you know, on his team twice. And, you know, I was on his team, you know, one year when Don McNabb got hurt. But it's not like, you know, it's not like, I mean, I don't know when the last time I saw him was, you know? But he somehow is aware that I'm there to... And also made a point to have somebody say, hey, before you leave, he wants to talk to you. I'm like, that's crazy to me that we're in the middle of training camp with everything that's going on, that he knows that down to that detail.
Well, you're a TV star. I mean, come on.
Well, no. I mean, in all seriousness, like the fact that somebody is saying, like, hey, these are the people that are at practice today. I mean... And he's aware, and then he says, okay, you go over and tell him. Like, of all the things they have going on, like, that happens. So, I think there's some stuff that, like some teams, like, they just have done a good job of hiring people, and there isn't anything that goes unnoticed. And that's obviously not the case with, you know, the Redskins for sure.
Did you guys notice that he did not dispute anything I said about his call-ins, where he's doing it from? There was no dispute. On any of that.
Yeah,
no. Poolside, tennis courts.
By the way, Richard, you said it. Like, I was a little bit late today to the call for a couple reasons. The main reason was my call sheet for the NC State Florida State game that I'm calling this weekend. Like, it wasn't printed properly, so I was waiting longer than I wanted to have it printed. So I got it. But literally, as you were saying that, I was driving right past the country club. I a little bit was like looking around, like, where did I see time?
How does he know my location?
All right. More with Tim Hasselbeck from the country club. On the other side, Darren Dottie can chase ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Darren Donovan Chase continues from Pete and Terry's Tavern. On the SoBro side, Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight. Their final preseason home game as they take on Carolina. Darren will start the coverage at 6 o'clock pregame. 7 o'clock for the faceoff with Pete Weber and Hal Gill.
Did you see the tweet this morning from the Hurricanes locker room?
The new guy?
Yeah.
The new guy. The name, the label yeah. Over his stall just says new guy.
Yeah, I guess they hadn't had time to put the whole name together. Tim, did it ever happen to you? Get to the new team, get to your locker, and it doesn't have your name in there. It just says new guy?
I never had new guy, but I did have this situation where I went to the Redskins, okay, and they give me number 8. And I play a game, you know, 9 days later, and I go to put my game jersey on, and I literally cannot get it on while I have, like, my flak jacket, like the rip pads on that quarterbacks wear. So I have to take my rip pads off of my shoulder pads and just go into the game without them. And I'm like, man, why is my jersey so tight? And so what I found out was the kid they had in training camp that wore number 8 was a kid. His last name was Banks. He played at Iowa, and he was a little dude, played quarterback. And so they had just taken his jersey, taken a name off of it, and put mine on in the back of his head. So I'm like, I can't even breathe with this thing. I can't even wear the right equipment. But I'm like, what am I going to say? I just got there. I've been there a week. So.
Oh, boy. I think I'd just rather have new guy in my
locker.
Yeah,
just give me gear that fits. You can run.
Change the number if you need to. I got to get the jersey on. So one guy who hasn't been there, Tim, in Melvin Gordon. We've discussed his situation, but your colleague Adam Schefter saying that he's maybe reconsidering. I read a whole article about his theory as to why it might be worth it to him. He'll make more money and not risk getting hurt. I guess he's reconsidering here?
Yeah, I mean, not knowing the total specifics on it, but I think what happens is that if he lets us go too far, then he doesn't get the credited season, and you know, he doesn't have this. It's just a further path to free agency for him. And you know, we've talked, you know, a bunch of times as we've seen this with running backs about their value, and you know, after 5 years, you know, if they're a first round draft pick in terms of their rookie contract plus the fifth year option, like they're just kind of running out of life. You know, the shelf life for that running back, you know, is different for other positions. So, you know, I know Le'Veon Bell's gone on record as saying, like, he's glad he did what he did last year. He doesn't have regrets and anything like that. But he cost himself a ton of money. And I think for Melvin Gordon, when you just look at the way the Chargers team has played without him, the fact that they have had good production out of their running backs, and, you know, he's gone a month now basically without getting paid, I can see him really reconsidering this, because I don't think it makes much business sense at all.
We were looking at a lot of the grades for the offensive line for the Titans. There are some that, in certain metrics, and ESPN was one that actually had a stat that the pass protection win rate was better than it appeared. There's others that kind of match up with the eye test, that they have not protected the quarterback very well. But what we were getting into, and you can answer it way better than we can, is how do you try to evaluate how often the protection may not be great, but there was opportunities for the quarterback to get rid of the ball or slide up in the pocket, those kind of things. Because that's what everybody's discussing now is, yes, the line has to get better, but what can the quarterback do better to help a shaky line?
Yeah, well, the quarterback can do a lot. It's why if you go back and look at Peyton Manning's career, you know, why he, you know, was never, you know, the most sacked guy is because he would do a lot that would, you know, maybe somebody else would have taken a sack. So playing on time for sure, you know, is a big aspect of that. And one of the ways you can play on time is, you know, gathering information pre-snap. You've got a good idea with where you're going to go with football. And so, you know, the best examples I could give you from like how do you decipher that, how do you figure out, is, you know, when you watch stuff, you say, okay, did the quarterback even have a chance? And so what I mean by that is, like, if you watch Daniel Jones this last weekend against the Tampa Bay Bucks, there were a few times, especially early in the game, where you look at it and you go, you know what, he didn't have a chance. It didn't matter who they were playing at quarterback. They could have been playing, you know, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, like whoever. They could be playing whoever at quarterback, and there was just no shot because, you know, Red Ellison, the tight end, just gets thrown right back into the lap of the quarterback as he hits the top of his drop. Then there were other times where you look at it and you go, wow, that easily could have been a sack, but because he threw the ball so early and played with such good anticipation, he fixed it. You know, the amazing play that Patrick Mahomes makes this past weekend on the touchdown pass to DeMarcus Robinson, where he's going to the corner and he makes, you know, a one-handed catch. You know, the Ravens bring a blitz off of the slot, and it's not blocked. But Mahomes gives a little bit of ground and then throws that ball so early that he's not sacked. Not because the offensive line did anything special, but because the quarterback played special. So, you know, I think that, you know, you can see that stuff. That stuff shows up. And, you know, sometimes you look at it and you go, hey, look, but the quarterback just didn't play, you know, with as much anticipation, and he took a sack. Now, would it have been a great play? Sure. But do we see other guys making those plays? Yeah, we do.
So that being said, with what you've watched with Mariota, does he grade out fairly low, average to below average in that area?
So I would say this for him. He's had moments where you go, you know what? Other guys don't make that play. And, you know, probably none stick out to me more than, you know, I guess that would have been that run. It was against Kansas City in the playoffs. You know, it kind of throws the guy off of him. You know what I mean? Like, where you go, you know what, that's a sack for most teams. You know, that's just an amazing physical play. But I would say that those are fewer and further between than the plays where you're like, man, like, seemed like we were just holding it a little too long, and now we have a negative play, and now we're off schedule. So, yeah, I think that, you know, if you were just going to do a by comparison chart, you know, with other quarterbacks where you say, okay, well, he was a number two overall pick. He's, you know, he's expected to be the face of the franchise. Does he do it the way Breeze does it? No. Does he do it the way Russell Wilson does it? No. I think you can all go all the way down to Matthew Stafford. Does he do it the way Matthew Stafford does it? And, you know, the answer a lot of times is no. I mean, he doesn't. So, you know, I think that's kind of where you find your answer and you figure out, okay, well, how does he fit? Where does he stack up with the rest of these guys?
You've got a matchup of 2-1-2 teams on Sunday, and the winner is going to feel okay about themselves, particularly the Titans. You know, they play without Lawan. Three of the first four have been on the road. But you've got Atlanta that's got to, you know, they've got to be thinking pretty desperately here, too. They've got to win. How do you assess Atlanta's roster right now? As they, you know, they're still 2 years removed from almost winning the whole Super Bowl. They've regressed a little bit. Still has some scary players, but what do you think of them?
Yeah, I think the Keanu Neal injury that we saw last week towards Achilles is bad for them. You know, they were really beat up through the middle of that defense a year ago, and I think it was one of the reasons that they struggled. You know, I believe I've talked to you guys before about Deion Jones, their middle linebacker. I mean, he truly is a special player. I think they're a good team. They're dangerous because they are, you know, there were elements, and you saw some of it the last couple of weeks, of them kind of getting back to running the football better with Freeman, you know, healthy again. Their receivers are excellent. Obviously, you know, Julio still can kind of take over and dominate a game. Matt Ryan was outstanding last week, I thought. And I think defensively they have a lot of team speed, and they're really – they're talented in some spots. And I think because of, you know, the injury bug that hit them last year and some guys still coming off of injury, I think if they can stay healthy and not kind of get into that mess again, like has kind of already happened with, you know, the safety Neal, I think they're a good team. And I think they're a team with, you know, even with the Saints, you know, winning a tough game without Drew Brees last week. And I think that they're a team that's good enough to contend for that NFC South. I mean, I think they can be that good. So, you know, their record is impressive. It probably feels like a must-win game for them. And so I think it's probably a dangerous time, you know, for the Titans to get them.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. So continuing on that front, your assessment of Matt Ryan right now for the Falcons. I mean, his numbers, you know, 8 touchdowns, 6 interceptions through 3 games this season. What do you make of him?
Yeah, I think he's had a couple of bad interceptions. You know, the interception thing, you know, for him, I think he's always kind of had a somewhat unhealthy respect for the football. You know, I go back to when he was in college. You know, part of the reason where people were kind of scared about drafting him, you know, so high, he threw 19 interceptions, you know, his last year at BC. And you know, I think a few years ago, you know, I was fairly critical of him because I would hear him talk after games about, you know, hey, we need to protect the ball better. You know, he would say things like that. And, you know, and sometimes I'd be like, dude, wait a minute. Like, no, no, you need to protect it better. Like, you're the one that threw it, you know, when you were backed up, and you threw it right to, you know, DeQuell Jackson, or whoever you threw it to, you know? So, like, I've kind of always felt like he, you know, he would take some chances with the ball. I feel like it's always been somewhat part of his game. And I think in, you know, some ways he gets away with it, especially with, you know, the really talented guys that he's played with throughout his career that do a good job of catching the football when they're covered. If you think about you know, whether it was back when it was Tony Gonzalez, and certainly it's been the case with Julio, and I think you even see it show itself with guys like Mohamed Sanu. And so, you know, I think it's always been part of his game, and so, you know, I think there'll be years for him where he throws over 30 touchdowns and the interceptions are down around 12, and then I think there'll just be other years where they're much closer to 18 than 12, and I think it's just a product of how he plays.
So looking ahead, the Titans obviously have the Falcons this weekend, but then their next opponent will be the Bills. The Bills start the season 3-0. They have New England coming up this Sunday. Are you a believer in them right now, or do you still need to see them match up against better opponents than they've had so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think New England's going to beat them. Had they played, they played tougher competition, sure, you know, maybe we'd look at it differently. But when I do watch them, I feel like what I see, even going back to a year ago when it was like, well, I don't know how talented they were. I think Sean McDermott's a really good football coach, and I think that he's got a pretty good assessment of his team. And so, you know, you go back a year ago, they would run the ball well, they would play good defense, and they would at least be competitive and in a bunch of games. And I think what's happened now is that now that they, you know, maybe have kind of developed a roster that they're a little bit more comfortable with, and guys are buying in, and a quarterback that I think is just really hard to defend because, you know, he's a better runner than was probably advertised when he came into the league. In fact, he's an outstanding runner, and he makes some throws sometimes where you're like, wow. I mean, you know, very few guys around the league can make some of the throws, especially outside of the pocket, that Josh Allen's able to make. And so now I think you go good defense, improving quarterback, and a willingness to try to run the football. You're going to be a tough out for anybody. And so, look, am I a believer in them, Chase? Do I think they're going to the playoffs? You know, I probably don't, even with their
good schedule
start.
Helps them, though.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I could be wrong about it, but I probably don't believe in them as a playoff team. But I think that in December they're going to be playing meaningful games and they'll have a shot for it, because I think every week is going to be a hard out for whoever they face.
Now, I think another team that you could almost fit into the category of, all right, they haven't played anyone yet, let's see how they match up against better opponents, would be the Cowboys. Now, the Cowboys have more weapons than the Bills do. I think they've looked pretty good through three games, but what about you?
Yeah, I think there's an element of that. It's a little bit like the Bears, right? Everyone was saying, like, Mitchell Trubisky stinks, the Bears aren't any good. And then you go, okay, well, what's our sample size? You know, our sample size going into Monday night was they had played the Packers and they had played the Broncos. Well, I think we're starting to realize that the Packers have a very good defense, and the Broncos are good on that side of the ball too. And then all of a sudden you get to face the Redskins and Mitchell Trubisky. You know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, now this makes sense. Like, now this offense and Matt Nagy, you know, he's a wizard, and yeah, this is great. You know, like, do I think the Cowboys will come down, you know, back down to earth a little bit, especially offensively? Yeah, probably so. I mean, I think Dak, a couple of weeks ago, he was like 26 for 30. And I think he had a drop and then another ball that Randall Cobb probably should have caught that ended up being intercepted. I mean, is he that efficient and that good? Probably not. But I also think that there's an element of there's an efficiency to their offense because of how they're designed. They are still good up front with that offensive line. They are better with Witten there because he is a very good blocker and he has been. And I think that Kellen Moore is a legitimately good play caller. So they have balance. They've got a good play caller. They've got a quarterback that makes good decisions. And I think they've got very good athletes on defense. So, yeah, I think we'll come down to earth, but I do think that's a good team.
Last thing quickly, 30 seconds or less. In your opinion today, who is the best team in the league? Who is the worst team in the league?
Best team in the league is the Patriots. They got an awesome defense. Worst team in the league is the Dolphins.
Is it one of the worst we've seen in a long, long time?
Probably so. I feel bad with, you know, college buddies and teammates with Brian Flores, But I think that's why he got a five-year deal when most coaches get four-year deals. And I think everyone knew what a disaster it was going to be there. So, like, I think everyone knew, and it's kind of been as bad as advertised.
Mm. Good stuff as always. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your week. Enjoy the call, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Cool. See you guys.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN's NFL analyst slash expert. Same for us. Wednesdays at noon. We always enjoy our conversation with him. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.